I ran into a friend last week who was on her way to see the movie Maestro. Maestro, I asked, isn't that the film that got caught up in controversy last summer for Bradley Cooper's choice to portray Jewish musical legend Leonard Bernstein with a large prosthetic nose? Social media critiqued it at the time as an offensive use of Jew face. Bernstein's children weighed in saying, it happens to be true. Leonard Bernstein had a nice big nose. The debate raged all summer. Realism or anti-Semitism? Looking back in the wake of October 7th, I was surprised by an uncomfortable feeling, wistfulness. I sighed to my friend, remember when the highlight of American anti-Semitism was a prosthetic nose? It's almost quaint. How long ago and far away that feels. Last Friday, a gunman shouting "Free Palestine" fired two rounds outside the Albany synagogue my sister and her family belonged to, forcing the preschool where my niece and nephews went every day for years into a terrifying lockdown. This week, The Daily ran a video of college students beating an effigy of Bibi Netanyahu to shouts of "Beat that Jew." And last Shabbat in Los Angeles, a 75-year-old man, let me repeat that, a 75-year-old man and his wife, Rafi and Rebecca, were on their way to Shabbos services when they were attacked by an assailant who ran at them screaming, "Give me your earrings, Jew," and struck Rafi on his head with a belt. This was in broad daylight. This was in Beverly Hills. Rebecca shares that her grandson, 13, same age, Ava, as you will shortly be, Ava, you who took your place so beautifully in our Jewish people today, that kid, same age, turned to his grandparents after the attack and said, "Should I take off my kippah?" The world that you are inheriting, Ava, is bleak in ways that we thought before October 7th were consigned to the dustbin of history. What do we do with the sudden explosion of hate against Jews, of violence against Jews for being Jews? How do we make sense for ourselves of this moment? One of the most psychologically cogent moments in our Torah reading this morning lies in a place that we would least expect. When Pharaoh awakes from his dreams, deeply troubled. Troubled by nightmare visions he sees, of course, but our commentators point out much more by his inability to make sense of what it means. This is an issue not confined to Pharaoh. Rabbi Shoshana Cohen of Hartman taught just this week that to be human is to be a meaning maker. More than anything else, we need to be able to make meaning of our world. When Pharaoh cannot make meaning, he suffers crisis. And so too do we. if you've been thrown off balance these past months by the Orwellian nature of the world around us, Pharaoh's dreams present us with two diametrically opposed interpretations of the meaning of our moment within the tapestry of history, each of them helpful in their own way. The first, do not be discouraged or discomforted. 7 years of plenty will be followed by 7 years of famine, but those second 7 years too will end. We will endure hardship, but with vision and with insight, we can navigate past them from feast to famine to feast again. That's what Joseph did with Pharaoh's dreams. He leads Egypt, he leads his family through suffering to emerge again strong. That's what Leonard Bernstein did, becoming the composer and the conductor that was celebrated worldwide. And that is the model that we carry. Never lose hope that the world can and does move from darkness to light. We stumble from time to time back into darkness, but light is our lodestar. That is the voice that says that as bad as things are today, what we are experiencing is a setback on the road to better. In Pharaoh's dreams, although 7 healthy cows and 7 healthy stalks are swallowed, a close textual read reveals that when Pharaoh himself describes what happens, he does not say that the healthy are destroyed by the diseased, rather that they go inside. AJC leader Laura Shaw Frank sees this as a metaphor that the good remains inside the bad. The health, the light, although stifled by darkness, is ever present, always awaiting its next opportunity for return. That core directional view of history that even when the road veers, we are always moving towards somewhere better, runs through all of our Jewish holidays. None more than the holiday of Hanukkah we just celebrated. The oil we eat in our latkes and sufganiyot reminding us of the miracle of redemption, reminding us, as the Zohar puts it, there is no greater light than the light that emerges from the greatest darkness. How shall we view this moment? With hope. It was better. It can be. With our hands, it will be better again. Or, from the exact same text, you could just as easily argue the opposite. Ugliness swallowing the healthy and the whole is not just true in Pharaoh's dreams, but always. Sure, Joseph is the hero of Egypt. Sure, the famine ultimately comes to an end, and Joseph, as a Jew, is secure. But hello? Did anyone read the rest of the story? A new Pharaoh will ultimately arise who didn't know and didn't care about Joseph, whose anti-Israelite and anti-Semitism roars and rages into the world again. And the seeds are there in the story because Joseph in his time, like Leonard Bernstein and his, dealt with the discomfort of a small shadow of anti-Semitism that, while in the background, never actually went away. Joseph, we read, doesn't eat with the Egyptians. To fit in Egypt, he needs a new name. For Bernstein, there's a poignant scene in Maestro where a mentor encourages him, for the sake of his conducting career, to change his name. To a Bernstein, they will never give a symphony. But to a Burns, he says. For every one of us who thought that that chapter was over and done, comes Rafi and Rebecca's grandson's question, should I take my kippah off? For every one of us who thought that chapter was over and done, comes today's college campuses, what is simmering in the background that tells us can all too easily ignite. A lesson from another holiday we love and celebrate well that's coming up again in the spring. Bechol dor vador, omdim aleinu lechaloteinu. At Pesach time we say, in every generation, they rise up again. It might skip a generation, says this voice, but while anti-Semitism may fade, it will never die. There is no arc of history bending towards justice. History bends back again and again to hate, not hope. From Egypt to Babylonia to Spain to Auschwitz to today, that is our Jewish story too. So, which worldview is right? Which worldview is yours? Both have much to recommend them and to support them within our own texts and our own history. You could rationally argue for either. But interestingly, our parsha today, Miketz, always comes near Chanukah. Why? Perhaps to remind us that while darkness is a constant, choosing in full awareness of that pervasive darkness to kindle a light nevertheless is in our hands. Choosing to see our world as not bound in an endless collapsing circle, but as a forward-leaning line towards hope, especially in those moments when it's hardest to see, is the core gift our Jewish tradition today offers. As Holocaust theologian Viktor Frankl once poignantly taught, everything can be taken but one thing, the ability to choose one's attitude to any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. We've all watched in horror the campuses, among them Harvard's campus, exploding in anti-Semitism. This week, Harvard Hillel sent out a message. In it, one student shares, "The past 6 weeks on campus have been unconscionable. And as I was processing, I found a community that has shared not only my pain, but my desire to build a safer community for all. It was so empowering," he said, "to see how the Jewish community has been providing so much comfort and support during these toughest days." He ended, "I've never been more proud to be Jewish than I am today." Which brings us back to that couple in their 70s who were attacked in Los Angeles. After the attack, Rafi went home. He changed his shirt and, undaunted, went right back to shul. He made it in time to rise to the bima and read from the Torah. Standing face to face with the Torah's version of Pharaoh's nightmarish blight, Rafi held on to his hope. If we didn't, he said, it would be a much bigger blow than a few drops of blood. He and Rebecca answered their grandson, yes, there may be danger in wearing a kippah, but to not do so would be to give in to hate. They made sense of this moment by seeing it as the fuel that inspires them with an eternal spiritual message. Like countless generations of Jews before her, Rebecca looked to the future. I hope, she said, with the help of God, they will bring down this evil. And next year, on Hanukkah, she concluded, it will be a very bright light. Hanukkah is over, but we all still have candles to light. Candles of faith that light our way towards hope again. The holiday is over, but in the face of persistent darkness, the task of kindling a new light will never end. Both the candles and the light are in our hands. Shabbat Shalom.